Hey, everybody. I guess I, Lisa Monahan, am opening the show this week.
Surprise.
We didn't.
You know what's great
it.
Is, like, we don't discuss these things, and so, like, I was getting ready to say something. I was like, I did it last week. I'll let Lisa do it. Knowing that she has no knowledge that that's going through my head, so...
As you can tell, we are very organized for the show any and all the time. Hi, everyone.
As usual. You guys can also tell, like, I mean, we do, like, we make sure and go heavy into the edits on the show. We, like, you know, crop out all the ums and everything like that. As you can tell, we never, you never hear any of that.
Never.
Just a lot. I mean, basically, it's about 4 hours of recording, and by the end of it, Lisa crops it down to about an hour and 10 minutes.
You're right. This is why I have a drinking problem, because I have to edit this show so heavily, and not because the world is imploding.
Yeah. And just as an FYI, we just, because it is worth noting, we don't really do that. That's all. I just wanted to throw that out there to everybody. The show is, we maybe some sound editing, a few tweaks, and if there's something that's just like, hey, there was an error here, that's about the only editing you're going to get
raw
on the show.
You so sick and tired of the Photoshop? What about that? We don't Photoshop anything.
Yeah, what about all raw all the time?
We're raw dogging on
Tiger.
This show.
Just, and here's the thing. I was about to make a I always love when I make references to modern things, because, like, in even 6 months, I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, that was a thing that no one has thought about in months. I was about to make a reference to fucking Tiger King. Because
I
was like, talking about.
I have not seen.
Like, absolute raw dog. And that's the crazy thing, is like, that's one of those things I'm like, this does not sound enjoyable, but then just everybody's talking about, like, fine, I want to get the references, and it was pretty good. I was a fan. So
did you finish it?
I did. I got to the end of it. I watched the whole thing, and I said, huh, everybody's terrible, and some people are just a little bit less terrible.
But only a little
and
bit.
Everything is bad, which I think, if you think about how things are right now, that's a pretty good, you know, everything's bad. Some things are just a little bit less bad.
That's true. Yep. Like the lesser of all evils. So,
yeah. But you know what's great is that it's 1994, and you all are wearing some really weird multicolored shirts that are like really plain colors, because they haven't invented super cool colors yet.
I wonder what was the, like, hyper color shirt, like, when you would touch it and it would, like, leave a handprint? I don't remember what that was called, but that may have been an
80s
thing,
honestly. I don't know. That sounds rad, though.
Yeah, the 90s were full of, I mean, we're going to have to do an entire episode dedicated to fashion sometime, like fanny packs, the t-shirts with the tie on the side.
Man.
But not as cool looking as it looks now. It looked terrible in the 90s because it was accompanied with, like, triangle-shaped hair.
You know what, Lisa? We're going to have to look this up, but I'm pretty sure on that original doc, at some point, we had proposed fanny pack versus something, and I can't remember what the other thing was, but it was really good.
Fanny pack wins across the board.
Well,
no question.
It's debatable. But anyway, so that's not what we're here to talk about today. We're here to talk to you guys about the 90s. Not fanny pack related. Sorry. I'm sure you know what the episode is about. If you don't, just, like, literally look down at your phone or your listening device right now, and it'll tell you what the episode's about.
Or don't, and surprise yourself.
I would love the idea of somebody like, I want the suspense, the buildup of not knowing what the show is going to be about until the very end.
That's
when
true.
We get to the second half of the show. So I did want to, Lisa and I, as always, bring you a couple things.
Like it or not.
Yeah.
Do it.
So. Yeah. Like it or not, that's what the first half of the episode is for.
This is personally my favorite part of the show, because neither of us know what the other person is doing, so it is a surprise for us.
It is.
So,
it's fun, it's surprising, and usually, like, it's a lot of the things are not as popular, and so there are a lot of things that can be made fun of a lot easier, or like that are like a lot more buck wild, like, than some of the other things. So
true.
So I brought a thing today. I told Lisa I pivoted pretty quickly. I did one thing, and then I was like, you know what? No, I don't. I'm not as certain on how relevant that was to the 90s, because it was kind of more of a thing of the early 2000s. So I pivoted to this. Something that, it's a video game, because I'm Andy and that's what I do here.
Sure.
So I'm doing a video game that, like, I've thought about so many times, and I'm like, every time I think of court cases, this is one of the best games that came out in the 90s. In my opinion, but
that's a pretty hefty thing to say.
It's one of the best games, like the most played games that I had in the 90s. But the problem was that it was a collection of older games. So basically, It was a collection of games from the 80s. They came out in the 90s.
Okay.
And therefore, trying to, like, every time I think about it, I'm like, this is popular enough that it could have a court case, but it's not about games from the 90s. It's a collection of games from the 80s that was brought back in the 90s, in the early 90s. So, Super Nintendo came out, obviously, as we know, in the early 90s. And it had, you know, brought out a bunch of bangers right off the bat, like, you know, Super Mario World, Mario Kart, a bunch of other stuff that was huge. And so, but they were like, you know what, we want to make sure that people now can still play not just some of the original games from the NES, but also like digitally remastered, which is saying a lot when you're like, we're going to upgrade this to 16-bit instead of 8-bit, you know? So it's not like a huge, huge improvement, but there are, like, looking at photos of comparison from one to the other, I realize that I don't know if I've played some of these games even for the original NES. So that is why today, for many of you might know, and I'm guessing Lisa does not, I am bringing Super Mario All-Stars.
Damn it, you're right. I don't know that.
Super Mario All-Stars. You look it up. It is one of the highest grossing games of all time. I know it is with critical acclaim is one of the best. Oh, it's one of the best-selling Super Mario titles, with 10.55 million copies sold by the year 2015. And it's literally just the old Mario games. Like, it is just like, hey, we brought together this collection of games. So not only did they bring you Super Mario Brothers from 1985, which was slightly remastered, which I only noticed because they show the exact same frame from the original game to the second game. And largely the only real difference was, like, they'd have some, like, the backdrop in the original game was, like, all just plain blue. Okay. And in this one, it would have, like, some clouds in the background, like, and it'd just be a little bit more visually pleasant, I guess. But I think Mario 1 is the only game that I actually played for the original NES, because it came with, like, Duck Hunt and stuff like that. So when I was, like, really little and my, like, older brothers owned that, I played that. But the real bangers in this collection was Super Mario 2, which is weird because it's such a different Mario game. Like, they really kind of, some people might say a misstep, but I just think it was a fun game that's so much different than other Mario games, because you're playing as, you can play as Peach, you can play as Luigi, you can play as Toad or Mario. And just the kind of the mechanics of the game are a lot different than some of the other ones. And that's one where you throw eggs at Birdo.
I love that.
And Super Mario Brothers 3, really, if you got this game, that was really why you got it, was because Super Mario 3 was on it. And that was one of the last games that came out for NES. That's not true. Super Mario came out in 1988 and is one of the best selling games of all time.
It was
Super Mario 3 is an absolute beast of a game. So fun. And I don't think I ever played Super Mario 3 on the NES. I played it on Super Nintendo so many times via Mario All-Stars.
I think I only played it on the NES, because we never had a Super Nintendo. So I remember playing the out of number 3. So
yeah.
Interesting. And didn't and we decide that didn't we realize that number 2 came out in the 80s? Isn't that right? Like no, 89 all three of them, or something?
All three of those came out in the 80s.
Damn, dude. Super Mario 3?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Let's say Super Mario Brothers 85, Super Mario Brothers The Lost Levels, which that's also on the thing. And it's real bad. It's my opinion. It's real bad. There's a reason it was lost and they shouldn't come back. Super Mario Brothers 2 is in 88. I don't know if this is accurate, because it's saying, you know what, I'm reading this now and it says Super Mario Brothers 2, 1988, and then Super Mario Brothers 3, 1988, which seems unlikely to me, but we'll not worry about that. But no, this game was just a blast. You get to play three different types of games in the same one. And like I said, I would never have played Super Mario 2 if I didn't have this. It was actually pretty fun, and it was just a whole different strategies involved in this game. Let's face it, you played it as either Luigi or Peach, because jumping was way, way easier with them, because you could go way higher and stay in the air for longer than the other two. If you were Toad, you were just like, I just want this game to be at a distinct disadvantage.
I want to suck at everything.
Yeah. And I will say, I do still own this game.
Interesting.
In my compilation of old SNES titles, which, I did breathe life back into my SNES a while back, and it is currently functioning. this is one of my collection. I am pretty proud of my SNES collection. I don't have a lot of games, but the games I do have are all worth playing. Except the game that I did pay a lot of money for recently, that Bart game, the Simpsons game.
Bart,
which is
the Bart's Nightmare?
Damn near impossible.
Yeah, so, that one does seem pretty tough. I like a good, like a good challenging game like that. So
well, I'll let you play it for a while and then see how you feel after that.
Hey, my number one favorite game of all time is one of the hardest ones, and that's Spelunky. So I'm up mm-hmm. to a challenge. Like I love to beat myself in the head. So
yeah. You know. So and here's like I said, I brought this sound clip up just because it's kind of the intro of the thing, but it's not particularly great.
Let's hear this.
It's very much like you're in like a lounge, like just like waiting, like talking and having a nice chat with Mario and Bowser and Luigi about their battles, and they're just kind of like, oh, let me recount some of my favorite memories. It's kind of a boring, it's kind of a slow, boring one, but anyways, I don't want to go too much more into that. It's a super dope game. It's a blast. I enjoyed it a lot, and I'm definitely glad that I owned that so I could enjoy all of those games for years after they were out.
There it is. The man, we should fib one episode and do the Super Mario, like 2 and 3 up against each other and just be like, man, we were in the 90s because we played like, it in the 90s. So
surprise, 80s court, just like one episode. But yeah, let me, and while we're at that, Super Mario 3.
Let's hear it.
Let's see, when did it come out? Okay. Here's why there was a discrepancy, is Japan, it came out October 23rd, 1988. North America, it came out February 12th, 1990.
That was number 3?
Yes. And it was also featured on the film The Wizard.
Yes! Which oh, never, movie, oh,
you do remember that. Okay,
I
thank do remember, God.
I just watched it recently. In fact, I was super
the power
sick sometime.
Glove.
That's true. I was super sick sometime last year with like a stomach bug or something. And I was like in bed. I was like, I know what will make this delirium better. The Wizard. And so I watched it, and I was like, this is making everything so much worse.
I needed Kirk Cameron in my life. I think that's Kirk Cameron. But anyways.
We are all Kirk
he's
Cameron.
He's one of them. Yeah.
So.
That's not Kirk Cameron. That's not the person I'm thinking of at all. Never mind. So moving on.
Oh, is it Fred Savage?
No, it's one of the adults, like, never mind. It's one of the adults in the movie is one of the main characters, but not the main character. So, anyways, what's your thing? What you
my
got
thing?
For us?
Oh, you know.
Nothing. Is that, like, the startup
that's it.
Music
okay,
for
and
Windows?
Now we're going to court. That was, if you know that sound, that was the Windows 95 startup sound. And if you were alive in the 90s or if you were born in the 80s, so first of all, Windows 95 fucking ruled, okay? And if you're already, and like my particular thing is not just Windows 95, but the Windows 95 startup disk. And you're probably thinking, wow, Lisa, you're really boring. And I'm going, hey, fuck you. That's what I'm thinking back at you. Hey, fuck you. Because listen, the startup disk for Windows 95 was the fucking best because it had some hidden gems on it. And it was like, it was the best, Andy. Okay, like this.
Was this back when you could have the entire Microsoft Office suite and not have to fucking pay for it until they're like,
I think
this is the first and last monopoly case that we'll have in human history, and now everyone else is allowed to have a monopoly, just not Microsoft.
I honestly can't remember if Office was available then or not, because when you put in the CD-ROM. Windows 95 startup disk. Guess what? You already have Windows 95 installed because you're cool, all right? But you put in the startup disk anyway because there were some extras on there. And so there was something called, like, they had tours on there. Okay, they had Microsoft Exposition, which showed off some of the programs. I don't recall if Office was available, nor do I care because I was, like, 8, 9, 10 years old or something at the time. I was 6. I was 5. I was 10 years old.
So many numbers.
So many numbers. So it had the exposition. It had a tour, but it also had. Let me get to where I was. It also had this. Dang it! And if you know that sound, if you don't know that sound, that's fine. But that sound is the intro for the game Hover, and Hover was an add-on. On the Windows 95 startup disk. And do you know anything about what I'm talking about? Hover with an exclamation point.
I know a little bit more now because I just Googled it and I'm getting stuff all over the place.
So I played the shit out of Hover, okay? It was basically a really boring but super exciting, at the time, Capture the Flag game that was available on this startup disc. And you were either red or blue and you were Hovercraft and you would start a new game. And Andy, do you even, like... I so badly miss the days when F2...
Do you even Windows, bro?
Do you even press F2 anymore to start a new game, bro? So that's what you did then, okay? And so this Hover, again, it was just Capture the Flag, and you would just, like, go up these stairs and over some, like bridges and stuff like this, and you would encounter these, like, green baubles in the middle of the level, and they would make you either, like, speed up or slow down or, like, take a flag away or... give you some of the extra boosts. And there were also some tiles on the floor that would basically just, like, redirect you and shoot you off in another direction or take a flag away from you or something like that. But I, honest to God, probably spent so many years of my life playing Hover. I played it forever. And it had adjustable difficulties, and it only had three different mazes, and it was extremely... I mean, if you played one level, you played it once, you played it 100 times, because they would just put the level... Or excuse me, they would just put the flags in, like, one of a few places, okay? And so one level was, like, a medieval castle situation. One was, like, a weird rave casino-looking thing. And then the last... Yeah, and then the last one was, like, I don't know, a weird underground sex dungeon maze. It was weird. And so had the option to spring button... And you had a cloak option, and there was a wall button, which I didn't get because I think it just put a wall in front of your opponent. But then he could just be like, I'm just gonna
move around,
just go around it. It's not actually that big of a deal.
What I do with most walls, I just go around the walls.
Yeah. But no surprise, this is one of those games where I also spent a ton of time just pretending to be something else and wasn't actually worried about capturing the flag at all. I was like, I'm just going to pretend like this is my cool apartment and I'm just going
to
come over here.
See, I feel like you should have used the walls to, like, build yourself a nice house and, like, just, like, hang out in the house. And
so, listen, not only did it have that secret of of Hover, but it also had... Why is my internet being the way that it is today? It do be
it's
like
this
that.
This way all the time. Why don't you expect it to be the same way?
Happy Days is filmed before a live audience.
What?
It also had the fucking Buddy Holly video.
What? So Weezer just got up and, like, hey, you're on the release disc for every fucking Windows 95 ever?
Yeah, it was part of... It was something called, like, Video Clips. There was a folder for Video Clips, and it had the fucking Buddy Holly music video on it. Like, the one with the Happy Days, you know.
Right.
And it was awesome. There was another music video called Good Times by, what was her name, Ellie Beckett or something? Who cares? Edie Brickle, not Ellie Beckett. Edie Brickle.
What a bad name, though.
And hers is like, Good Times. Like, I don't care. Shut up. I'm not old enough to drink coffee. I don't care what you're having to say. I want to hear Weezer... I was the best, Andy, the best, because you had Hover ! And you had the Buddy Holly. When I talk to people, I come across more people that don't know this than do, and so I'm always like, even Jack, who's a big computer nerd, is like, you didn't know that this was hidden on there? He was like, no. I was like, this is all I did for years of my life, was just watch the Buddy Holly video and play Hover. And no one, like, some people just don't know what Hover was. So, I mean, I don't know if you were like, I installed Windows 95 and just slid that CD-ROM just back into your super cool, CD sleeve, and, you know, with, like, whatever the fuck else, like, Netscape Navigator, what else was, like, your AOL discs. Like, you just put them all together in one big sleeve. But, like, there were some super sweet hidden gems on that disc.
Yeah, I'm reading up on this right now, and it says, amongst other things, they had a 30-minute cyber sitcom featuring Jennifer Aniston and Matthew Perry that was really bad.
Yeah. I vaguely remember that one. There were other video clips in there. I couldn't dig those up, and I was like, I don't care as much because they had Weezer,
right.
They had Hover, and that's all that mattered. But there was, yeah, apparently Aniston and Perry had friendships or something before Friends began anyway, but I'm sure we will potentially maybe hear more about that later.
I mean, like, did they think that, like, people weren't gonna upgrade their, like, weren't gonna do Windows 95 for the just the fact that it was a better system. They're like, what else do you got? Because, like, I'm frankly fine with fucking MS-DOS, all right? I don't need Windows.
I don't need your fancy wallpapers and your gorgeous screensavers. And
Buddy Holly by Weezer? I'm interested. What else you got? We got some fucking hovercraft game. You know what? Sold.
Wait. Is that Edie Brickle? Is that the Edie Brickle? Wow.
Count
Sign me up.
Me in.
Count me the fuck
You had
in.
Me at Brickle.
You had me at Brickle. So that's my thing. I'm awesome. Often surprised at how many people don't know about this. But if you did know about it, you fucking know about
it. Honestly, this is of the things you've brought, like things that I didn't know about that were the most interesting. Like, we obviously had the Windows 95 startup disk. I just never knew that was on there. And that's freaking rad.
I'm telling you, me and like enhanced CDs. And any kind of shit like this, I was like, I'll dig into this. I will get into the nooks and the crannies. And I did. And I found Weezer. You're welcome.
Nice.
So well, that's my you. Thing. Ba-dum-bum, ba-dum-bum.
So as I had mentioned before in previous episodes, we did want to start going over a few of our iTunes reviews. Just to remind people, you know, you can leave us a nice 5-star rating and review, and we would like to share a couple of those today. We have a lot of them, so we're just kind of like going through the backlog and picking random ones here, some that were a little more interesting and stuff. So I did want to read you a couple of those and give a shout out to those who left them, despite the fact that the people's screen names on there tells nothing about who they actually are.
But
so
if you're listening, you know who you are.
You know who you are. Number one, fun times. Subject line, Andy and Lisa are people I'd like to hang out with. Well, thank you. And the podcast is funny as well as thought. I'm sorry. The podcast is funny as well as thought provoking. The format is unique and sets itself apart from other nostalgia shows. Do your inner child a solid and listen today.
And if you're listening right now, you've done it. You've done yourself a
you
solid.
You did it. Congratulations. That's from Ked Moomoo. So KEDMOOMOO.
That's a
good
name.
Thank you.
That's a good one.
A fun walk down Nostalgia Avenue. Listening to Andy and Lisa brought back so many memories, exclamation point. Some awesome and some cringeworthy. But hey, that's the 90s for you. Check out this podcast for a fun dive into everything 90s from food to entertainment. Their court cases are intense and pull my heart back and forth between two subjects that both hold a special place in my inner child's heart. So if you are looking for an entertaining, informative look into all things 90s, then look no further. If you lived it, you will love it. Smiley face. That is from CPT Geech, who I think is Captain Geech. I'm not sure.
Oh, Captain. I was like, Captain. Corporal? No.
Captain
There's
Geech.
No T in Corporal.
So thank you guys.
I will say, honestly, we are informative because do you recall talking about the sniffy markers, the scented markers? That was informative.
Yeah, we learned a lot about,
probably too much.
More than we'd like to know about flavors that maybe we didn't ever ourselves experience and hopefully never will.
Yep.
So anyways, lobster bisque. So.
Lobster bisque. Guys, thank you for the reviews. Those really make us so happy in our current state and all of our current states.
Just hearing
no
from
matter
people
what we
and,
are in.
And like I said, it's one of those things that, you know, again, everybody asks for them on every podcast you've heard. And the reason, again, is because it helps elevate us so that there's a much higher likelihood of other people finding our show and unlocking them. We've got, I think, got a ton of 5-star ratings, and then we have a little bit less reviews. I mean, I think it's like 45 5-star ratings and then like 32 reviews or something like that. So thank you everybody who has left one. But yeah, if you're listening now and you would like to hop in there either on iTunes or even Stitcher, you can log on to your web browser for Stitcher to leave one, and then iTunes, you can leave it anywhere. So anyways, enough of that nonsense. How about we take a break and then meet back same place, same time, fam.
Same bat channel. Let's do this.
Okay.
Right, see you in a flip.
We will be right back. We'll see you in a flip.
I'm not good at this.
Goodbye. A Nestle flip. Bye.
Bye.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Andy.
Oh, hey.
It's Andy from 90s Court. So I'm not, you know what? I can't.
You can't? Do you want me to do polls?
No, I'll do the polls. I just want everybody to know, like, this is just, it becomes such a common theme, is that you guys don't get to hear, like, if we had, like, like, you know, I said the like, the lost levels in Mario or whatever, like, and they had those, that is one of the games you get on, like, if we only we could find the lost sound files for 90s Court that we could all release of all of the things that we've recorded that were lost, because... Anyways, we just had a whoopsie, and so we just had about 15 minutes. We just cut down the drain. So welcome back, everybody.
What up?
We're gonna bring
do
you
it again.
The hot poll results from last week that we've never discussed before. Now, so last week, as we discussed, we had some real hard hitting world beaters, Kazam and Spice World.
Oof.
So, you know, if you were really on the fence, like, I don't know which of these is going to win because they were both so good. like,
both so good.
That was the struggle everybody else had, too. So Twitter was just fucking tore up about this because they're like, how can we choose? These are both just the best fucking movies on the planet. Spice World got a 28% Rotten Tomatoes, and I mean, and Kazam got a 6%. I mean, how can you beat those? So Twitter was divided, but they ended up finally siding with Spice World. 54% to 46%. Facebook had less of a problem, finding 64 to 36% Spice World. It feels like a lot of the times people just hate voted against the one that they were like, absolutely not this. Like,
yeah.
Absolutely not this. Like, and one of them was just like, I like the Spice Girls, so I'm going to vote for Spice World. And some people, basically, it was, if you like Spice World, you voted for Spice World. If you hated Spice World, you voted for Kazam. There was no, I don't think there was any actual love for Kazam. It was just all hate voting Spice World related, so.
More like Spite World.
Spite World. People of the world. Every boy and every girl.
Spite up your life. Spite I'm doing a really life. Good job of spiting up my life right now.
We're all doing pretty well on spiting up our life. So that's, we're going to bring this up maybe a little bit more tasty this week, because as you all know, something just came across my desk.
What up?
That's right. I've just been handed a court case by my robot that I have because I can't have any people around, so I have
by
a
2XL.
Robot. I built a robot that literally its only function is handing me court cases, which you might say that seems like a lot of work and effort and money into something that's so small that is completely unnecessary, and I would agree with you. but it was better than having, I guess it's about the same as having a human being who slept in the yard, for a long period of time and then was, subsequently murdered, named Finneskeel.
And if you don't know what that is, we're just going to leave it at that and let you try to figure that out on your own.
Figure it out.
Back episodes.
Yeah. If you want to check out, I think episode 15, I think is where you'll hear, some violent murder. There's also an episode of Coffin Cast, which is another podcast that did an episode dealing with the life and murder of Finneskeel. So anyway, so that's not what we're here to talk about. Today we're here to talk about this court case. Gruffle, 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 gruffle. Oh, here, look at this piece of paper. It is Friends versus Seinfeld. What
Big
a
one.
Nice, succinct names.
Very good.
Friends and Seinfeld. One of them is the premise of friendship, the premise of love, the premise of people, the importance of relationships, just the value of having other people in your life and how important that is, and something that we're getting to know more now that we're so separated from one another. And
right.
The other one is the last name of a fucking person. And so, which is also good, apparently. So,
oh, boy.
So fortunately, Lisa is going to be going first, so she can start in on her court case that maybe she already has presented some of.
It's
off,
okay.
Off this recording,
I got all the stage fright and all the squiggly wigglies out of my system, and now I can just go on.
Woo!
All right, that's enough.
I clapped.
That's
along.
Really loud. You did. You clapped. Yeah. I said clap, 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 clap.
So, clap, 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 clap.
I am bringing to you the series called Friends, which was a very big show. And upon rewatching it, I was like, man, this is like soul food for my Soul, get it? That was
It'd be weird so if it was lame. Soul food for something else.
Soul food for my shorts. I didn't like when Friends came back on Netflix a few years ago. I was like, okay, and didn't care to rewatch it because I was like, I'm just gonna rewatch The Office again because that's what I do.
Sure.
I don't need Friends. And then when it went away, it went away right as we decided to, or shortly before we decided to do this court case. And I'm like, motherfucker. So now I couldn't watch any of the episodes anywhere online. I kind of just had to watch best of clips. And I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot all about this. And then I was like, you know what? I actually really did like this show.
Yeah.
Just, you know, to kind of give it, you know, gruff, like that was inappropriate. The show was great. So.
Yeah. And I did mention before. So the show, I think it's not that it wasn't popular. It wasn't a great show. Like a little over a year ago, I don't remember exactly when it was, but there was this whole outrage because like Netflix is like, hey, we're taking this show off the air. And everybody's like, no, not Friends. We want it. And so they're like, surprise, it's back. We're going to keep it on for another year. And so like everybody suddenly was like in love with Friends again and was like, oh my God, thank you. Because it was such a big media outcry on social media about Friends. Like so many people on Facebook were talking about it for a while. And then I think because they brought it back, then they finally, when they did get rid of it, they just didn't talk about it much. And so they're just like, let's just sneak this off in the dark of night so nobody notices.
I'm telling you, heads will roll when The Office leaves Netflix. People will die. Like there will be the Unabomber part two is coming. So just be prepared.
But I mean, Friends, I'll say this, like I was pretty devastated when Lost left, which I think I've talked about before. Lost is my favorite show of all time. Sorry if you don't like it. But it's one of my favorite. It's my favorite show of all time. And it is fortunately on Hulu now. So I have been indulging in that. So well, continue. We're talking about Friends.
Sure. We're talking about Friends. Friends was a sitcom that aired on NBC from September 22nd, 1994. To May 6th, 2004, which is 10 full
seasons. That's 10 years.
That's 10 years. Actually, just shy of May to September. I was just like, man, you should have kept it. Although I know September is the beginning of the season, so that's not how this works. But it would have been cool. But yeah, 10 full seasons of so many people doing so much dumb shit. And so the cast included Rachel Green, which is played by Jennifer Aniston. And mm-hmm. She was like the sexy, kind of aloof, flirty high school friend of Monica's, and you pointed out that she was rich, which I totally forgot about. That like it was she was like floated by her father. Yeah. And so I would say she was probably the sexiest one of the group and probably the most iconic in terms of like changing popular culture for women. So like everyone was like, I want the Rachel haircut. And like if she changed her haircut, you're like, I want that Rachel haircut. And then she went all straight and totally sleek in the 2000s, you're like, no, I want to be that Rachel. So, and then there was Monica Geller, less influential, played by Courtney Cox. She was like the OCD, very serious and kind of like has her shit together friend, but was also obese as a kid.
Relatable.
Very, very relatable. And then there was Ross Geller, who was played by David Schwimmer, which is Ross Geller is Monica's brother. So, and that was, I forgot about this running thing about how their parents like super favored Ross and were like, okay, Monica, like, okay.
Dinosaurs.
They really went after Monica. And the more I watched, I was like, that's fucked up, man. Like,
yeah.
I've got three kids. That would be a bummer to ever treat any one of them like that. But Ross was the main love interest of Rachel over the series. He was a paleontologist, dinosaur. And he was kind of just like a weird, squeaky, annoying man that I probably would have hated. Probably would have dated and then hated immediately. So
this is so interesting that you like this stuff. And then you're like, oh, this is just, I have nothing else about you except that you like dinosaurs.
Yeah, be like, mommy, I like dinosaurs too. I wish you'd go away now. So,
all right, see ya.
Joey Tribbiani, played by Matt LeBlanc, and he was the hot actor friend. How you doing? That I was never attracted to, but a lot of people were. He was the very dumb but lovable friend, and also Italian. So, I forgot about all his sisters. He had like 100 sisters.
Yeah. And I feel like the you basically summarized Joey's entire character arc and everything he ever did in the show
in
four words, basically. And you just basically like everything he would do, they're like, we're going to stick to what would you do if you were these four things?
There it is. That's exactly what they did. They're like, we found his saddle, put it on the horse, ship it to the field. Chandler Bing, played by Matthew Perry. Chandler was by and large my favorite character on the show because he was the sarcastic and quick-witted asshole friend, and I was like,
yes,
I get his shit very much. I get that very
much. I think there's always like this envy of like, because like to the way that he can just bust out jokes like and like be sarcastic and stuff like that, and nobody ever gets pissed off or offended. Like for the most part, like he just is like says like horribly sarcastic things in a way that like we're jealous of him because he gets to say them with no consequences all the time, and we do not.
Yep. Yep. I try that with some of my friends, and some of them are like, yeah, that's okay, and some of them are like, don't do that.
Yeah.
So I have to rein in my own personal Chandler sometimes. And then of course there was Phoebe Buffay, played by Lisa Kudrow. She was the singer songwriter friend who created the one, the only Smelly Cat.
Smelly Cat, Smelly Cat, what are they feeding you?
Probably
Smelly
farts.
Cat, Smelly Cat, it's not your fault.
That's her.
Moving on.
She was everyone's like favorite little weirdo blonde lady. She was super quirky, extremely quirky. And I would say personality-wise, I wanted to be most like her. Hmm. I was like, she's cute and funny and weird and also very blonde. I like that in a woman.
I just always felt like I wanting to be like her personality-wise, like at least when I was watching it, because like there was some friend who like kidnapped me as a friend when I was like a junior in high school, and this was like in 2003, and so like he had like all the DVDs except of course like the last season or whatever, so it was like near the end of the series and we were watching it like all the time, and at that time like I always just thought like Phoebe is the least real person on this show. Like that's, and by real I mean like I can't imagine an actual human being like her without having a severe mental disorder.
but
which
really,
has probably just offended a lot of people, but seriously, like, I think it was at that time, like I said, she seemed so out there and so weird, like,
yeah,
that it was hard to grasp that. But I mean, she was great. She was the nicest one on the show, I would say.
She was the best. She was probably, like, the most pure. Really loved Phoebe.
Sure.
So, here's the thing. I can't possibly begin to cover the entire scope of all the stories, all the relationships, and all the jokes of 10 seasons of the show, but like I'll cover the basics of the show and kind of like what made it so interesting to people and why it lasted 10 seasons, right?
Sure.
Okay. So it was a truly ensemble show where really, I mean, you could maybe argue it a little bit here and there, but really no character was more important than another. They did a pretty good job of giving equal storyline time to each character. I would say Joey probably got the biggest shaft, but for the most part, they all got their own. And it was really, like, watching the show, I was like, they're all really good actors. They, I mean, in the sense of, like, they have to do a lot of, like, facial acting and I don't know, I was just like, this is a really good set. They did do a good job coming up with people that are like, you're interesting to watch for this reason and this reason and this reason and this reason for you and you and you. And I enjoyed watching it because of that. They all routinely gathered at this coffee shop called Central Perk. Mm-hmm. And it was just the best. And there was a dude named Gunther there who worked there, and he was obsessed with Rachel. And I mean, like, I can't imagine anything more fun situationally, like concept-wise, than being like single, hot, and in your 30s in New York City and having, you know, the world is your oyster because you live in New York City and you get to hang out at this fucking coffee shop with your friends. Ugh, I think that's probably where my love for New York City stemmed from and why I always wanted to move there.
And I think right now at this current time is just like, we're just like looking at these people and like, must be nice.
Must be nice to have
like,
friends.
Like watching this fucking show with just pure resentment of like, you're just hanging out with your friends. Oh, must be nice. Going out to the coffee shop with other people, just like holding hands. Must be nice.
Is it fun not drinking? Like, is it fun drinking a cappuccino instead of drinking 10 ounces of hand sanitizer? Huh,
must be nice.
Sure. Seems great. Yeah.
You have a monkey. You have a monkey and a duck. Cool. Must be nice.
Super cool. It's super fun to have those kind of fun animals at home with you instead of three screaming children. So, not that we're bitter or anything like that, but
must be nice.
We're doing the best. Must be nice. So, the general summary of the show is that Ross has been in love with Rachel since they were in high school, and then here she comes in episode one, sauntering back into everyone's lives after leaving her fiancé, Barry, at the altar.
Fucking Barry.
Fucking Barry. He was, what, a dentist?
I don't remember.
Pediatric dentist or something like that? Yeah.
Pediatric dentist? I only work on kids' teeth.
Well, I remember him working on a child in one episode. It doesn't necessarily mean he was pediatric.
Like, are you like an orthodontist maybe? Who knows?
Who cares? Who cares?
Who cares?
And then we're also introduced to Ross, who is at the time having a baby with his lesbian ex-wife, Carol. So that's a lot right there. So he's got his ex-wife, who is now a lesbian, and she's pregnant but has moved on. And that's the whole thing. And then Chandler splits with Janice, but continually reconnects with her over the series. Yes, the worst laugh. The worst laugh. And then Monica's thing is like, she's just really anal. She's really OCD and has to be in charge and has to control everything and needs it to be perfect. And that's kind of her thing for the whole series.
Sure.
So, and then let's see, where am I in my notes? And then Phoebe is crazy, as you mentioned before, because her mom committed suicide when she was a child. And also she has a twin sister who does porn. There's kind that's of a right. lot to unpack. So
I
that's remember right. that.
I completely forgot about the twin sister, like that's yeah, like Ursula. Her evil twin. Yeah, Ursula. Yes.
Who was just played by Lisa Kudrow.
Yeah,
as
it's just her as well.
It was great. Oh, it was so good. And then Joey is just like a horn dog after any and all the booty. And he is also on a soap opera called, was it Days of Our Lives?
Days of Our Lives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the general premise of the show. And over 10 seasons, you just see these guys fall in and out of love, start dating themselves, start dating someone else, break up with them, break up with each other, break up interpersonally, all kinds of crazy shit. And it's really enjoyable. And we just watch them rotate between relationships, but like in a pretty funny way. And I will say, because there's so much of the show and we don't have 10 years to talk about this, the rundown of the most interesting personal arcs of the series would include the whole Ross and Rachel showdown, right? They go back and forth, being in and out of love with each other, breaking up, getting back together, being on a break.
Yep.
Saying Rachel's name at the altar while marrying Emily, the British girl. One night stands, accidentally getting married, and then they eventually have their own baby. What they call her name was Emma. That sounds right.
Yes, that sounds right.
We're going to say it's right. So that's, I mean, it's basically 10 seasons of that shit. Oh, gosh. And then there's Monica and Chandler, who are not a thing until way later. I want to say like season 7, I think I remember. But it takes a while for this relationship to get going. And I would say it was my favorite of the relationship because it really showed like the warm and romantic side of Chandler, who's kind of just a fucking mess and fails at every relationship he encounters up until that point. So, and the same with Monica. I've forgotten all, like, she was dating like the millionaire for a while. Mm-hmm. And, oh shit, I can't remember all
who
the
who was the guy
dated.
With the mustache, the big mustache?
Tom Selleck
that she was dating.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. Tom Selleck was in there and he was quite a bit older than her, and that caused some issues. But yes, they eventually get married in season 7, so they must have gotten together prior to that. And they eventually adopt twins at the end of the series as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then Phoebe has some fun arcs, even though she is kind of more background in some ways, but she also marries Paul Rudd, which I forgot because holy shit. Paul Rudd in the show.
I know Paul Rudd was in the show. I just forgot that they got married. That's wild.
I hope I didn't write those notes down wrong, but if I did,
no,
whatever.
It's been a long time since I've watched the show completely.
Yeah.
So.
And if you remember, she also is the surrogate for her brother. Who I can't remember. I know the actor's face. I don't know his name, but he's, I think, either married to or dating Kitty from That 70s Show. His mom. The mom from That 70s Show. Do you remember that? Like, he was dating someone way older than her. But anyway, she ends up having triplets for them as a surrogate. And that was awesome. And then Joey, like, honestly, what I could remember, not a lot happened for him other than he got his own spinoff show. So they must have been like, we didn't really do your character justice.
I mean,
you need a spinoff.
Yeah, and it feels like with Joey, it's like, just like I said, they really, for him, like, narrowed down his entire character into just like a few, like, hey, he is motivated by these things and he will always be motivated by these things. And they didn't really give him a lot of emotional depth to the point where, like, him having a relationship, like a real relationship, would have been difficult to portray and have people relate and empathize with him in it. So they were like, you know what? Fuck that. Let's just have him be a somewhat successful actor and sometimes fucks up.
Yep, and that's fine enough for him. And they gave him the spinoff, which I saw zero episodes of. So I can't imagine that was a huge hit. Let's just move on. So that's a series from afar. And then there's, you know, the quotes, which are very important. Joey's like, "How you doing?" Right, right. That was pretty bad. Janice's, "Oh my God. Terrible. I'm terrible at this." And then my favorite of Joey's, which was, "I'm Chandler. Could I be wearing any more clothes?" That was of the entire series. That was probably my favorite one. Wow. And of course, Ross's, "We were on a break," which we did earlier. And one quote, which I didn't remember, but made me laugh really hard when I read it yesterday, was from Phoebe. And she just finished a song at Central Perk. And she said, "If you want to receive emails about my upcoming shows, then please give me money so I can buy a computer." So I remembered in thinking about the series, there was one episode where Ross had a leftover turkey sandwich from Monica. And one of the other people inside his workplace ate the sandwich. And he went fucking ballistic. Crazy. It was like, my sandwich. And it just made me think of the time, like, immediately after our wedding. You know, at your own wedding, you don't really get to eat a whole lot because you're entertaining too many people. Uh-huh. And at our particular wedding, we had this fucking bomb ass mac and cheese made by our caterers, and we had leftovers, and we gave it to my brother-in-law, and was like, or it was given to my brother-in-law, and you're supposed to give it to the bride and groom so they can eat the next day. They got drunk and ate all of our food.
Jesus.
And so the next day when I found out, I found out the next morning, and I was in, like, over the top mad about it, like insanely mad about it. And I was channeling my inner Ross, like, my mac and cheese. Because you have to spend like thousands of dollars.
Oh no.
Thousands of dollars, and you get like a third of a meal. And then, yeah. And so I had a very, very interesting Ross similar moment there. But I want to wrap this up with just some funny points of trivia for the show. During the first season, oh man, I was way wrong when I was talking to Jack about this earlier. During the first season, the cast was paid $22,500 per episode.
Jeez.
By the final two seasons, they were earning $1 million each per episode.
Dang.
Yeah.
It's a slight change.
Just a little bit. Courtney Cox was originally asked to play Rachel, but decided she wanted to change parts when she really started reading the part a little bit more, which I'm very thankful for, because she would have been a terrible Rachel.
Yeah.
The frame around the peephole, if you remember that, that actually used to be a mirror until staff accidentally broke it and smashed it. And they were like, "It actually is pretty good." And they just left it. So, and then the last little piece of trivia that I found interesting, there was a ton of trivia, but this was all only shit that was interesting to me, was that Gunther was just an extra, and he ended up being put in the place of Gunther because he was the only actor who could competently work the coffee machine.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
That is actually super rad that they're just like, "Hey, you're the only one who knows what you're doing, so you're the guy who's going to do that." And then just naturally, eventually, they're like, "Hey, let's have this guy have some of a character," and then he just kept getting bigger and bigger.
Yep. Huh. And so, look, I could go on forever. I don't think anybody wants me to go on forever about Friends, but, like, Friends was so fucking good, and if you liked it, you liked it, and if you didn't, you were wrong, but it was good, and it was fun, and I want to hear Seinfeld.
What's the deal with Seinfeld?
Oh, gosh, no. I'm already not into it. I'm already hey, everybody. Not into it.
Let's rewind just a few years back from when Friends started. Similar paths, except that Seinfeld is a much more well-renowned show, much more famous, and made a considerable amount more money. So Seinfeld started July 5th, 1989. Now, before you say, "Hey, that's not the 90s, well, Lisa's ended in 2004, so y'all can suck it, okay? Yeah, but that's the thing, is like, it's unless it's a bad show that only had a few seasons, it's almost always going to dip into one next decade or another. So
that's
this
fair.
One started with only 5 months to go in the year 1989, and dang, it lasted until May 14th, 1998. 9 seasons, 180 episodes, and I'll have a little bit of trivia later on this, too, about the talk about going into a 10th season. This is one of those shows that, as a kid, so this is going on, obviously, when I'm a child. Like, I'm 4 years old when it starts, and am 13 when it ends. So I was not watching this show when I was a kid. I did later on in life, like in the next upcoming years, start watching some of it. I don't know if I watched the entirety of the show, but I know for a fact I at least got through and watched entire last season at very least, because I know I watched the finale. And then, of course, I dipped back in and watched a few episodes just for refresher for presenting the case. So Seinfeld was a sitcom brought forth by Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld.
Hell yeah, Larry David.
Yeah. Larry David came in.
I didn't know he was involved in that.
Yeah, Jerry was like was a very successful stand-up comedian in the 80s. And then, like, he was like, hey, I want to do this sitcom, like, and was asking Larry David to come on board. And, of course, he was on board with it. I will say, from a lot of the things I read, was that Larry David and NBC didn't get along super well. Like, they always had notes for him, and he would always basically tell them to fuck off.
I love it.
Which, if you ever watched the show, you will know why, because it's just... It is often described as a show about nothing, which I mentioned to Lisa earlier, like, and she's like, really? And I said, yeah, like, that's like, they advertised it as such. Like, it was literally on there all over the place. And that quote was exactly from Wikipedia, too, which is that Wow. That was how it was. That was basically, it's, if somebody asks, like, what is the show? And it's like, it's about nothing. And I think a better way of describing it is this, is that it's about the various little things in life, the way people think, the things that we do, how we overthink things, how we do relationships, that kind of stuff.
That doesn't Basically, sound like people.
All of the parts of daily life that other shows skip over in favor of the more important moments and interactions. That's my opinion and my analysis of it, is kind of like every other show is talking about the big times, the big moments and everything like that. And this show is basically like, we're going to do all of the dumb stuff that happens in between there.
Someone's got to cover it. Dirty job.
Yeah, and so the characters. Jerry Seinfeld plays... Jerry Seinfeld. Jerry is a minor celebrity stand-up comedian in the show. And I believe every single episode, to my knowledge, has featured a moment at the beginning of Jerry doing stand-up in front of a small audience. And usually... the stand-up would relate in some way to the episode that would be coming directly after. It was always like maybe like 20, 30 seconds. Like he would just be like telling a quick joke or something like that, and then it would skip to the opening scene. Jason Alexander as George Costanza. Julia Louise Dreyfus as Elaine Bennis. And Michael Richards as Cosmo Kramer.
No big deal.
Those are the four main characters throughout the entire show. Now, there are other recurring characters mainly that came on later on. Wayne Knight, played Newman. And if you don't know who that is, Lisa, that's the person that we referenced is always, a.k.a. the fat guy from Jurassic Park.
Yep.
And then Estelle Harris and Jerry Stiller played Frank and Estelle Costanza through a large portion of the show as well. So just to give like some examples of the plots of some different episodes, like I said, it was very funny. And I think a lot of it was that like, it was such a groundbreaking show in the sense that like, there were very few, this was like the only show that was just like comedy only. Like it was about real life situations and they went into stuff that like, now, like you could go to listen to any podcast, anything, and people and even memes and jokes and stuff like that, where it's about stuff that like, we all relate to. We're like, oh my God, I didn't know that was like you, that they did that too. Like you realize, oh, these are things that people actually do and people actually think and overthinking situations and stuff. And this show really dove into that a lot on a lot of the stuff we do that sucks sometimes.
Yeah. Do things that suck?
We do. It's weird.
We do.
Yeah. So just to go over a few episodes, some of the more popular episodes that I watched. So there's one episode. Here's just the plot of kind of the whole episode. So Elaine is dancing at a work party and she is unfathomably bad at dancing, but she doesn't know it. So people at her work aren't respecting her much or are laughing when she's like, and making jokes about her. Like, and she's like, doesn't know what's going on. And she thinks it's because George Costanza, who has been like around her work, has been talking bad about her and like saying bad things about her. So Elaine is letting all of the people at work know that George is a bad boy and bad news. Jorts ends up running with this and gets a couple dates with a woman at work under the premise because she's like, oh my God, he is a bad boy. And so he ends up getting dates with this really attractive woman because she thinks he's a bad boy and like no good. And she's into that, I guess. So that's kind
very
of one
big in the 90s.
Yeah. And then in the same episode, the other side plot is that Jerry and Kramer are going to this new movie that Jerry got tickets for. And Kramer says, hey, can you get a third ticket? I got a friend of mine that wants to go. So they show up to the movie, and his friend is actually a super weird, overly aggressive, borderline homeless man that is a movie bootlegger who brings in this huge bag of assorted, just nasty old candy that's clearly been, like, on the floor, and he's, like, pulls out a video recorder just in the movie and is just filming the movie.
People still do that, I guess.
Yeah, so he starts feeling sick, so he asks Jerry to film it for him. Because he's feeling sick. Jerry says no, and the guy shows him a gun that's in his pocket, and Jerry's like terrified, so he's like, okay. So he does the thing, and he, you know, gets the tape to the bootlegger guy, and the guy shows up to Jerry's apartment and is like, Jerry, this is a masterpiece. You have a gift, my friend. And Jerry's like super flattered, and he's like, you know, of course people make a big deal of it, like later on there's somebody's like, wait, you did that one? That's a fucking masterpiece, you know, like it's just like everybody, it's just about, it's absurd. It's like intended to be absurdist and stuff. And he wants Jerry to do more bootlegs for him. More stuff ensues. It's weird. In the end, one of the bootlegs that Kramer made for Jerry, because Jerry's like, I won't do this, but Kramer, you can do it. Ended up having at the end of it, Elaine dancing. So a clip of her dancing at the end of it, which is now being sold on the street to everyone. So,
yes.
Number two of the episodes I want to go over. This is an episode called The Contest. And in 2009, on like Reader's Digest poll of the top 100 TV episodes of all time, this was number one for all TV shows.
Wow.
So this was a list that came out in 97 and then 2009. And the 2009 one, The Contest, was considered the number one episode of any TV show of all time.
Oh my gosh. This
features Jerry. So Jerry, George, and Elaine and Kramer. Jerry, George, Elaine, and Kramer are all having dinner or coffee with when suddenly George, who's super exasperated, explains that his mom, who he lives with, caught him. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to say the word masturbating a lot. They never say the word masturbating. They hint at it many, many times, but it's never set out right because they can't.
Are you going to give the words that they use in place of it?
I think I know at least a few times he says, I'm master of my domain. she's caught me taking care of myself, things like that. So while she caught him masturbating and she apparently fainted and hurt herself. Since she's now saying that George like needed therapy or something like that, or needed to see a psychologist. And there's various things continuing about that in the episode. Anyways, they all talk about how insane it is and how it's totally normal because everyone does it. George says he's going to have to stop for a while, and Jerry's like, you can't do that. You do it all the time, I'm sure. And he's like, I bet I can go longer than you can. He's like, why don't we make a bet of it? And they, like, bet $100, and then Kramer's like, I want in on that. And so he bets, too, that he can, you know, last the longest without masturbating, essentially. And then Elaine wants in, too, but they're like, oh, Elaine, like, you can go months without it, I'm sure. Like, so I will say there are a lot of like things that like this is in the like early 90s and stuff, like slightly like not horribly sexist thing, but like occasionally sexist remarks about women, like occasionally. But I mean, it was normal in the 90s, just like a lot of things that are kind of like a little bit judgy that they don't, you know, that were just kind of part of the times, I guess. But basically that's like women don't need to masturbate, basically. And so they end up letting her in, and they say, but you have to pay $150 because women can go away longer without it, so you have to pay more. So basically the entire episode is just like all of a sudden all four of them just start encountering sexy things like all the time. Like just – and they don't even try and avoid it seemingly, but they just all of a sudden – like there's a neighbor across the way from Jerry's apartment where that is just walking around naked all the time. It's a very attractive woman. And so like Kramer is like out like in his walks into Jerry's house and with like fucking binoculars all the time. And they're like looking at this woman. Meantime, Jerry is dating a virgin. And so they keep making out a ton, but obviously they can't have sex. George is visiting his mom at his hospital, and there's like a big sheet, you know, divider between them and the next patient next to them. Mm-hmm. And so like apparently this really, really attractive nurse comes in every day and gives this other attractive woman a sponge bath, and so he can just see it through the through the curtain, you know, he can see the outlines of that. And then meanwhile, Elaine is doing like something like Pilates or something like that, and JFK Jr., John F. Kennedy Jr., apparently was doing at the same place, and they end up hitting it off, and she starts to think that maybe JFK Jr. has a thing for her. So in the end of the episode, you don't find out who won exactly. We know that Elaine did not win because she did it, and Kramer lost almost immediately. Like, just this the scene when he's, like, looking at the woman across the way, and he's like, I'll be back in a minute. And, like, they just, he leaves, and, like, they're still talking in the apartment, and, like, probably, like, a minute later, Kramer comes back. He's like, well, I'm out. Just instantly. So in the end, you don't know who won. It's whether it was Jerry or George, but everyone's pretty defeated at the end of it because a lot of bad things happen. Jerry's girlfriend ends up leaving him due to the fact that he tells her about the contest they've been doing and says that it's disgusting. So she's downstairs crying. And meanwhile, Elaine is supposed to, John F. Kennedy Jr. is supposed to be meeting her there to pick her up. And I guess while she was upstairs in the apartment, John F. Kennedy Jr. instead picked up Jerry's girlfriend. And they ended up, at the end, you see that they just boned or something like that. You don't ever see John F. Kennedy Jr., but they end up having sex or something. And so you just see the other people sleeping in bed, finally resting. And the assumption is that they all finally took care of themselves in the end. Which, again, I think the main reason that was such a big deal is because that was definitely not something people talked about in TV shows at that time.
No, I wonder what year that one aired.
I feel like it was probably, I don't know exactly, but I'm guessing, I think that one was like in the middle seasons, like in 2000, in like the, season four, season five, I think. Okay. So it was probably in the like 93, 94, something like that. Then the finale. This is the one I want to talk about because it's one of those things that it's like, it's a very, people kind of form sides on this, on whether they think it was great or they think it was just horrible.
Okay.
It's a two-part, I mean, it's one episode, but they keep referencing it in two parts, like it's a two-parter, but it's an extra-long episode, it's like 55 minutes long, and the way that this show was set up, like, there were so many, like, you know what, I'll talk about it later, actually, in the trivia, but I'll just summarize the episode real quick. This one's a little bit shorter, I'm not going to go over as much, but set the stage, the beginning. An airplane that they were supposed to be going on this trip had been damaged due to Kramer being an idiot. They witness
it's Kramer's fault.
Yeah.
Okay.
They witness a fat guy, like a really fat guy, being carjacked at gunpoint. So instead of helping, they're just standing there like watching us, and they're making fun of the fat guy. They're like, well, that girl's all his money for liposuction, and just like horrible jokes, like making fun of this guy, and Kramer's just videotaping it while this guy is getting carjacked. What? And they're just sitting there laughing about it and stuff and just being their normal selves. And then the guy drives off with the car and the fat guy's left outside of his car, and like a police officer comes up and talks to the guy, and they're like, all right, let's get out of here, guys. And as they're getting ready to leave, the officer comes over and says, like, excuse me, where do you guys think you're going? You're under arrest. And they're like, what are we? Didn't do anything. And they're like, exactly. There's a new law called the Good Samaritan Law, basically that they were being dicks and didn't try and help in any way, shape, or form. So apparently the new law, they said, they're like, I think you're the first people ever to be arrested for this. So part two of the show is literally this huge court case that is a way of basically bringing all of these popular side characters from various old episodes all together in one thing and recounting old episodes of like times that these guys were dicks, like as character witnesses. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about how terrible these guys were the entire time. And at the end of it, all four of them are convicted of criminal indifference. And the show ends with all four of them locked up in jail.
Oh my god, what?
And that's the end of the show.
That's the end of the series?
Because that's the thing, is like the whole thing is about like the entire show is like they are all four not terrible human beings, they're just like not great people, like for the whole thing. So that's
I
kind of the whole series.
That's how that ended.
Yeah. It's wild. So I do want to go over some trivia though, because okay. Some of these are fun. So Larry David famously, and this is also I think an important thing with the whole like them being terrible people. Larry David famously instituted a policy of no hugging, no learning. So that was like a thing that they had, meaning that the show must avoid sentimentality and a moral lesson, and the characters must never learn nor grow from their wrongdoings.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
I know, it's just being like, we're not having any heartwarming moments. These are just shitty people. We have to make this as real as possible. As Kramer, Michael Richards, became more popular, his entrance applause grew so prolonged that the cast complained it was ruining the pacing of their scenes. Directors subsequently asked the audience not to applaud so much when Kramer entered. Because it'd just be like, they'd be in these scenes and they'd be talking and Kramer would just like walk in the door, like just like, and you know, I don't know. I guess everybody loved Kramer because he's so weird. This is the last thing I wanted to say about the thing I wanted to say about the 10th season that I mentioned earlier. Jerry Seinfeld turned down an offer from NBC for a 10th season of the show that would have made him $110 million for a 10th season.
Oh my God.
So Jerry Seinfeld by himself would have made $110 million had they have done a 10th season.
Unbelievable.
However, before the show was set to air, like in 89, Jerry Seinfeld asked Jason Alexander what he thought their chances for success were. Alexander said he thought they didn't have a chance. When asked why, Alexander responds, "Because the audience for this show is me, and I don't watch TV." He's like, "This is funny to me." He's like, "But I don't watch TV, so like people like me wouldn't watch this show." So he didn't think much of it. Again, something I wanted to touch on that I forgot to mention about the finale. The finale was so big that there were multiple references to its finale in other shows airing before or around the same time as the episode. Like, there was one episode of something I saw where apparently they made a joke about it, like it was a week before the Seinfeld finale came out, was that there was a scene where they were going to go have sex in public because everybody at that time was going to be inside watching the finale of Seinfeld. I don't remember which show it was, but that was a joke.
Oh my gosh.
Also, the TV Land network, the entire network, honored the finale by airing no programming during the finale's time slot. Instead, there was just a picture of a closed office door with nothing else going on while Seinfeld was airing on NBC.
I always knew the show was big. For anyone who hasn't caught it before, I never watched Seinfeld, period. I could never get past the bass riff. I was like, count me out, I'm out. So I knew it was big, but I didn't know it was that big. Yeah. Holy hell.
And then last but not least, so in the finale, the first conversation in the show, like the show starts in episode one on the thing, which is funny because I watched both. I watched the first episode and I watched the last episode. The first conversation in the show, right when they start, is Jerry is like putting on a shirt or whatever, and he's having a conversation with George about the fact that he's like, the top button is really in the worst possible location. He's like, the second button on a shirt is really the most important button. It's really the deal breaker of the whole shirt. And the very last conversation of the entire show was Jerry, while they're in the jail cell, saying that to George again, is like, about the button. And then George says, "Haven't we had this conversation before?" And Jerry's like, "You think?" And he's like, "I'm pretty sure." He's like, "You know what? You're probably right." And then that's the end of the show. So it's just the beginning and the end, the alpha and the omega of buttons.
I think that if I actually went back and watched it now, I'd be like, holy shit, this is a show I would probably actually really like.
That's the thing is it's really good. It's one of those things that like it holds up really well and it's still funny, but it's like so many other funny shows like are allowed to go so much further than Seinfeld was. It's kind of one of those things where it's like it was so groundbreaking that so many other shows have kind of latched on to a lot of their elements and moved on with them and improved them. But this was kind of the original, the OG. But yeah, I think you would enjoy it. So
yeah.
Anyways, that is Seinfeld. I know there was a lot more I could talk about, but we've already gone very long on this second half of the show.
Yeah.
So what do you got, guys? What do you think? Seinfeld?
Or Friends? Sfrenfield.
So again, we'll have our polls up on Facebook and Twitter for you all to hop in and give us your thoughts. But last but not least, Lisa, why don't you take us out with some where to find us?
For sure. We are on Facebook and Twitter at 90s Court, Instagram at 90s.court. We would love it if you left us a nice 5-star review if you get a chance. And in fact, if you do, I think we're just going to start reading those on the show because they're super fun and they're a nice little ego boost. Mm-hmm. We appreciate that very much. So yeah, do that on Apple, iTunes, Podchaser, Stitcher. Mm-hmm. Is anybody else? I can't remember who's left.
Nope,
at this
that's
point.
It. There's a ton them. Of them.
That's it. That's all there is.
That's it.
So do those things. And then, you know, hit us up. We love hearing from you guys throughout the week. And, you know, hopefully we're keeping you entertained during a very kind of low-key time at home. So
yeah.
If you're in between Zoom meetings, why don't you hop into a podcast with us?
Hop in and check us out. So, we love you guys again. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Again, we always love feedback on the shows, particularly positive feedback. Lisa, did you have any closing remarks before we depart? Nailed it.
Seinfeld. I killed it. What about you, Andy? All right, we'll see you guys. That was pretty good. We'll see you guys next week for episode 32.
Adios.
Have a good one. Bye, guys.
Keep it rad.